Well, good morning again. It's great to gather with all of you. And since I didn't get a chance to earlier, I want to extend a special welcome to all of our guests here this morning. It's great to gather with all of you. We're excited about what God is going to do this afternoon and this evening through what we have going on. And we're praying that God will continue to use you in the days and weeks and months and years ahead as you serve Him in these various ministries that you've taken on. And so we love you, we thank you for your partnership in the gospel, and we're happy that we get the privilege as a church to join with you today in that. Well, we are starting a new series today through the month of May. We're starting a series called Wisdom for the Generations. And so we're talking through what is a godly approach to each stage of life. How is God speaking to the various generations through His Word? And we are going to start today, as I prayed earlier, with the elderly. And then next week we'll go through adults and then young adults and then kids and youth will be the final week. And as we go through this, we're not going to put any age limits on these things. And so as we go through this, if you don't think you don't consider yourself an elderly person, then just wait till next week for the adults. And then if you don't consider yourself an adult, just wait till the next week for young adults. And if you don't consider yourself a young adult, then just wait till the final week for the kids and youth. The main thing that we don't want to do, though, is we don't want to hear from God's word and say, you know what, I don't really like what that says, and so I'm going to classify myself as a younger person just so I don't have to listen to God's word. Okay, so we want to submit ourselves to God's word, but we don't want to put brackets on or pigeonhole you into a certain age range. All right, so today we're going to talk through what is God saying to our elder members here in our church. And as I do that, I want to begin with an illustration. So I have this shirt here, and I used to wear this shirt out in public. So whenever we went out to eat, when we went to the park to play, just wherever we went in public, I used to wear this shirt, all right? And then eventually, what happens to all my shirts, for whatever reason, I always get holes in the armpits, all right? I have no idea why, but that's where, like, the holes form. And so, for me, once I start getting holes there, then the shirt becomes an inside shirt, or mostly. So I maybe wear it to work outside in the yard, I wear it around the house, I wear it to bed. Well, then eventually, those armpit holes get a little bit bigger, and so what do? I cut off the sleeves, all right? And then the shirt ages a little bit more, and it wears a little bit more, and so I wear it to work out. I still maybe wear it to bed, but I just don't wear it very often. Well, then the shirt gets a little bit older, and it wears a little bit more, and so eventually it becomes what it is now, and that is a shop rag, all right? So I use it to wipe and dry off my hands. You can see that I use it to dust off our card table and our chairs whenever we're having company over. And so it's older. It's older than most of my shirts. It's more worn than most of my shirts. But you can see that it still has great purpose. And as we think about this elderly stage and our elder members here in our church and in other churches, some words that might come to mind for us are older or more worn. But I pray that by the time we leave here today, we would instead have in our mind God's thoughts towards our elder members. They still have a great purpose. And so as we kick off this sermon with God's message to our elderly generation, may we have this message in mind that God is not done yet with our elder members. And to see where that's come from, let's turn to Genesis chapter 17. All right, Genesis chapter 17. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, we encourage you just to grab one. There should be one in the chair in front of you or in the chair in front of your neighbor. They should be these black Bibles. We have two different versions out there. One is a small print version and one is a large print version. And so if you've never been in Genesis before, it's the first book of the Bible. And we'll be in chapter 17. If you want to get there quickly, if you happen to grab a small print version, we're going to be on page 16. And if you grab, 15, if you grab a large print version, we'll be on page 14. All right? So I'll give you a little bit of time to turn to that, and then I'll read several verses in 17. We'll eventually get to chapter 18 in a little bit. All right, verse 1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and the kingdoms will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless you so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. The word of the Lord. Well, here in Genesis 17, we see God give a mission to a man named Abram, or Abraham. And this mission is a further elaboration of the mission that God gives Abraham in Genesis 12. God promises Abraham that he will be made into a great nation, that God would bless him and make him a blessing to others. And God reaffirms that promise here again in verse 4. And he goes on to say that Abraham will be the father of many nations, that he will be exceedingly fruitful. Even kings shall come from Abraham, though he has no royal blood in him. But not only that, but God promises to give Abraham all the land of Canaan and declares that all of Abraham's descendants will be God's people. And then God proceeds to detail what Abraham and his descendants must do to hold up their end of the covenant in verses 9 through 14, that each male must be circumcised as a way of showing any dedication to the Lord. And now, we don't have a whole lot of time to dive into the deeper meaning of circumcision or to explain the reasoning for it, but for our purposes today, what it boils down to is if the people of God, if Abraham's descendants wanted to be dedicated to God, if they wanted to remain in this covenant, then they needed to circumcise or cut off the foreskin of their male children. The alternative is that God will cut them off from his covenant due to their unfaithfulness. And so finally, we get to verse 17. And here, God promises, God promises Abraham that he will have a son through his wife Sarai, or Sarah, as she would be renamed. Even though Abraham has another son named Ishmael through one of Sarah's servants, God says, no, I will give you another son. And it is through this son that you will be a blessing to all nations. It's through this son that kings will be born. It's through this son that you will be a blessing to all nations. And so in summary, God has just promised Abraham that he's going to be a father to many nations and to kings, that he will be a blessing to many, that he's going to inherit a ton of land, and he will have a son with his wife through him. All of this will be fulfilled. Now that's quite the mission, isn't it? That's quite the purpose in life. That would cause many of us in our youth to wake up and to rise and to say, man, I'm excited for what God has in store for me. But here's the kicker. Go back with me to verse 1, and we'll show part of it on the screen. This section, before God gives Abraham all of these purposes in his life that have yet to be unfilled, they start off this section with when Abraham was 99 years old. All of this was to take place from the time that Abraham was 99 and older. Now, I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, know someone in their 90s. Not someone who was born in their 90s, but someone who is in their 90s. And now imagine if this person came to you and said, you know what, last night I had this vision that God told me that I was going to have many descendants. And I was going to be a blessing to many, many, many nations. And that this wasn't to come through my children or my grandchildren. This was that already are living. This was come through a new child that is yet to be born to me. You'd probably all think, hey, that's great. You're crazy, but that's great. All right? Let's just get you back to bed. Let's just get you home. Let's get you tucked in. All right? And now, for our elderly members, just picture this. Imagine that God comes to you tonight and says, hey, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you many descendants. And it's not through the kids or the grandkids you have currently. You're going to have another child. That all of this is going to come through. You'd be laughing at God. You think God is crazy. But here he is promising all these promises to Abraham, even though he was 99 years old. Which brings us to one of the main messages in Scripture. We see God speaking to the elderly. And that is that God is not done using you to accomplish his mission. Once again, God is not done using you to accomplish his mission. Just as he was not done with Abraham or with Sarah, who was 90 years old herself in this passage, God is not done using you to accomplish his mission. There is still great purpose in your life. There are still many days ahead that God wants to use you to be a blessing to others. In fact, the Great Commission that we see in Matthew 28, where Jesus commands his followers to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, that actually finds its roots here in Genesis 12, where God is telling Abraham, go, go from the place you currently are and be a blessing to nations. And so what we see here, God is telling Abraham at age 99, I am just getting started making disciples through you. So go. Go be a blessing to others so that they may know me, that they may know this God, that I may be their God and they may be my people. And to our elderly members, may you believe that the same is true for you today. That despite all the ways that God has used you in the past, and we have a great church in that, we have elderly members who God has used in many, many, many ways over the years to help build this church and help to make disciples. But may you believe that maybe God is just getting started using you to make disciples. That just because you have reached retirement age does not mean that God has retired you from his team. It doesn't mean that you're off the bench and into the stands. He still has great purpose for you in accomplishing his mission. It's a point that Jeff Hanen makes in his book, An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, which is just a phenomenal book. And he says in this, the closest the Bible comes to our modern idea of retirement is found in Numbers 8:25. And from the age of 50 years, the Levites shall withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more. And so he goes on, he explains this. He says, since hauling tabernacle furniture was hard physical labor, older Levites were commanded to instead minister to their brothers in the tent of the meeting. A hint that God doesn't intend for our work to completely stop, but rather to morph and mature with age. God does not intend for our work for him, for our service for him, to completely stop, but rather to simply change and mature over time. In other words, God's not done with you yet. Returning to our passage, in verse 17, we see Abraham's response. And so I invite you to read it with me. It says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And then skipping over to verse 18, in verse 9, here messengers appear to Messengers of God appear to Abraham and Sarah, and they say, where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. And he points, he says, there in the tent. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? We see Abraham's response to God's mission for him in life. He laughs. He responds how many of us probably would, how we would expect if we're not in the elderly category, our parents or grandparents to respond. We see that not only is Sarah 90 years old, but she has been barren for 90 years old, unable to have kids despite her best attempts. And so we also see her response to this mission, this calling. And now, in most situations, we would expect the wife to be the reasonable one, right? The wife to keep the husband in line. You know, for her to say, Abraham, hon, stop this laughing just this moment. This is God you're talking to. We need to be respectful. We need to listen to what he says. You do not laugh at God. How many parents could picture yourself saying that to your kids? If Jesus were to say something to them and they were to laugh, you do not laugh at God, all right? We take God seriously. But yet Sarah reacts similarly to Abraham. She feels, she believes, just like Abraham, this is absurd. There's no way this is going to happen. There's no way that God could do this, not with us. And so she laughs at God as well. And after she gathers herself, she points out that she is worn out, that Abraham is old, that she has been unable to have kids for 90 years. She's saying to God, our days, our years of having kids and raising kids and being a blessing to others is long gone. If there was an opportunity for that, it was in our 20s, our 30s, maybe even our 40s, but not now. Which then brings us to our second point this morning. To our elderly members, focusing on your weaknesses will cause you to believe the lie that God is done with you. Once again, focusing on your weaknesses will cause you to believe the lie that God is done with you. Abraham and Sarah are so focused on their current state that they lose sight of the God they're talking to. They can't get past the obstacles. They can't get past their own weaknesses. And to those here today who fit into this elderly category, I just want to use an illustration. Have you ever told stories to others? Told stories from your past? Told stories of your youth? Told stories of the energy that you once had? Told stories of the excitement and joy that you once had? And then you conclude the story with the phrase, "But those days are long gone." How many of you ever told the story with the conclusion, but those days are long gone? Yeah, a lot of you. I ask that because in the 14 years I've been in ministry, I frequently run into elder members of the church who believe their days of accomplishing significant things for God's kingdom are long gone. They look at their increasing age and they see that as a hindrance to God using them. They notice the ways their health is declining. They see that as a hindrance. They see their energy levels declining. They see that as a hindrance. In the end, they put all three of these things together and believe there is no way that God could still use them to accomplish anything, let alone something significant. Or they look around themselves and they see someone else who has more energy, has fewer years, has better health, and say, you know what? That person could better do this task that God has given me. And so I'll just let them do it. For the sake of the church, I'll just let them do it. And church, for the rest of us, to be honest, I don't think we do a great job of speaking to this lie either. As our parents and grandparents and those we love increase in age, our approach to them becomes much more about trying to preserve their life and extend their life than it does about making sure that their life has meaning. We see our elderly serving in various ways, and we say, you know what, at your age, you shouldn't be doing that anymore. You should be letting someone else who has more energy or more time do that for you. Why don't you just find a seat over here, and we'll take care of that for you. We discourage them from taking risks because it might lead to further health problems, and so we determine it's just not worth it. Or we dismiss their wisdom because at first, to us, it may seem like they are just a bit out of touch with reality. They're just not aware of the times that we're currently living in. And so when we combine these things, when we combine the fears of our elder members combined with the stereotypes and the preservation of life from our younger members, well, in the end, what we have is an established culture in our church and in churches all around the world where we're advancing this lie that God has done with them, that there is not much more valuable that they can contribute. We have an established culture that furthers the lie that a young age and good health and high energy levels are critical to serving God. And therefore, when those attributes are gone, so is God's purpose for us in life and in the mission of the church. But let's pause for a moment here and just ask ourselves, is that true? Is it true that our service to God depends on our age, that it depends on good health, that it depends on high energy levels? Is that the way that God views our elder members, that it's time for them just to get up in the stands and get off the team? Well, let's return to our passage in verse 13 to find out. Chapter 18, verse 13, it says, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Will I really have a child now that I'm old?" Is anything too hard for the Lord?'" And he reaffirms the promise. He said, "I will return to you at the appointed time, one time next year, and Sarah will have a son." God questions, why would Sarah laugh? Why does she think this is absurd? Why does she think this is impossible? Why does she think that her age, her health, her energy levels matter? Why does Abraham think his age, his health, his energy levels are a challenge for me? And he follows it up with this line, which is one of my favorite in all of Scripture. He says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And the way this is written in the original language, the answer is an emphatic no. No, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And God goes on to reaffirm his promise that Abraham, at age 100, and Sarah at age 91, will have a son. And through that son will be a blessing to all nations. Through that son will come kings and leaders. Through that son will come Jesus Christ, who saves the world. Though Abraham and Sarah have their weaknesses, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Which brings us to our final point this morning. To our elderly members, God is not limited by your age, your health, or energy as to what he can still accomplish through you. Once again, God is not limited by your age, your health, or your energy levels as to what he can still accomplish through you. Though you may be increasing in age, God's desire to work through you is still strong. Though your health may be in decline, God's power is just as mighty as it was on the day that he created the world. And though your energy may not be what it once was, Ephesians 3:20 is just as true for our elderly members as what it is for our youth, which reads, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us." You see, it's not our abilities that determine whether God can still work through us. It's God's power that determines what he can do through us. And that power never decreases with increasing age. It never declines with our declining health, and it never fails with our failing energy levels. God always remains strong, he always remains mighty, and he is always able to overcome any weakness we possess. And this is why we see throughout Scripture so many of our cherished Bible heroes serving God and accomplishing great things for God well into the elderly stage. Abraham and Sarah, as we cover, were both in their 90s as they accomplished their mission to have a child that would be a blessing to the nations. Moses was 80 the moment that he stepped foot before Pharaoh and demanded that Pharaoh let God's people go. And he was 120 the day that he was finishing leading God's people through the desert. Anna was 84, and she dedicated her life to fasting, to prayer, and to worship. And she would eventually prophesy one of the last prophecies about who Jesus would become. And just in case you may be beyond all those ages, Noah was 500 when he built the ark, and 600 when he went into the ark to accomplish God's purpose for his life. Do we see this morning, church, that what is hard for us, or what may be hard for us, is easy for the Lord? Do we believe that our perceived weaknesses and limitations are not weaknesses and limitations for our great God? Are we willing this morning to confess our sin before God and say, you know what, I've looked at my life and I've looked at my weaknesses and I've doubted all that you could accomplish through me, God. I've doubted whether you are truly done with me. Are we willing to speak truth to this lie this morning, that our age, our health, our energy levels are critical to God using us to accomplish his mission? Because I believe, church, that God is inviting us this morning, and particularly our elderly members, to take their eyes off their weaknesses and put them on our great and powerful and mighty God. To believe that so long as we are living, that God is not done with us yet. To leave here convinced that because of God's immeasurable power and his ability to do the impossible, that our elder members still play a vital role in God's mission, both here at First Baptist and around the world. That they are working to help us accomplish this vision to be a church that is living in light of the gospel. Jeff Hannon writes in that same book I referenced earlier, he says, retirement is a new season. A new season to use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Yet from a heart being ever renewed by the gospel. In this passage here in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it's the one that refers to the fact, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And so having that in mind, that God is working to renew us each and every day, and that we still have gifts that God is wanting to use through us, let's shift towards applying this passage to our lives and church here at First Baptist. Several months ago, I shared an illustration with you about an elderly woman who was 92, and she ran into this pastor in an airport. And she asked this pastor, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And this pastor said, yes, yes, I do. I place my trust in Jesus, and I'm actually serving him now as a pastor. And this elderly member responded to him a bit dejected and said, oh, that's too bad. Because I'm 92, and before I go, I want to see just one more person trust in Jesus. And so she had been going around this airport sharing her faith with several people, hoping to see one more person trust in Jesus. And ever since I read that story, I've been thinking, what a great mantra for life. And I invite and encourage our elderly members to take up that mantra each day that God gives you here on earth. Because if God is not done with you yet, and if his power is not limited by your age, by your health, by your energy level, then I encourage you to think, what is one more thing that God could accomplish through me today? In God's great power, where nothing is impossible for him, what is one more thing that he can accomplish through me? So here are just some thoughts that I thought through. This is not an exhaustive list, but can God accomplish one more time welcoming others into our church? Several of our elder members have greeted and welcomed, whether you've served on the welcoming team or just been here in church and gotten here early. You're great at welcoming people into this church. And we thank you for that. Can God do that through you one more time? Can you offer up one more prayer for the salvation of others? For your kids, for your grandkids, for the unbelieving people in our church, for the unbelieving people here in Muscatine, around the world, can you offer up one more prayer of salvation for them? Can you let God's power work through you to fill one more shoebox to impact a child around the world? Many of you have filled more shoeboxes than I could probably even see in a bookstore or in a shoe store. And we thank you for that. But can God work through you to fill one more shoebox to send around the world? In God's great power, can you send out one more card to a new guest or member in need? We currently have an outreach team that that gathers on the first Wednesday of every month, our guest and care team. And they fill out cards to welcome in our new members, to invite them to take the next step, and to also reach out to our existing members and attenders in times of need, to care for them, to love them, to pursue them. And just this week, we had one of these individuals who received this card post on Facebook, and he said, "I received a postcard from First Baptist Church telling us that we are missed. Thank you, church family, for always thinking about its congregation and keeping us in your thoughts. With both my wife and I working two jobs apiece, life has gotten pretty hectic lately." Can you write one more card and impact one more life to show that they're missed, that they're loved, that they're cared for, to encourage them to continue to follow Jesus? Can you visit one more homebound elderly member? We know you guys are our best visitors, our best caregivers of this generation. Can you visit one more? Can you allow God to work through you to visit one more? Can you have one more mentoring conversation with a younger believer to offer up your wisdom, to pass it on, to share the things that you've learned in your relationship with Jesus, to share the things that you've learned from God's Word, to encourage and equip our younger generations? And like the lady in the airport, can you have one more time of sharing the gospel with a non-believer? One more time of sharing the good news with someone in hopes that they would trust in Jesus and be saved. God is not limited to your age, to your health, or to your energy levels as to being able to accomplish those things. And I invite and encourage you to lean into God's power, to lean into God's strength, and have this mantra of one more in God's power. Can I do one more thing for him this day that he has given me? And now for our non-elderly members, how can we be applying today's passage? How can we help our elderly members live out their mission in Christ? Well, in God's love, I believe we need to repent of the discouraging stereotypes we have furthered. That our elderly members are past their prime, that they may not be as connected to the world as what we are, that serving God is affected by age and health and our energy levels. I don't think that we as a church, or a church that outwardly says those things, at least I hope not, I don't think I've ever heard those things from anyone, but I think our society does. And I think what happens in society tends to also slowly creep into church, and it influences our attitudes and influences how we interact with our elderly members. And I believe God is calling us today to just to bring those things before him and just to say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, for assuming that some of these people are done, that you're done with them, that they don't really have a whole lot to contribute. You know, they can come to a church, they can be a part of this, but in terms of serving you, that they're done." For us to repent and to receive God's forgiveness for that. And then to turn around and acknowledge and celebrate God's work through our elderly members. To point out the ways that God is using them still in our lives. To encourage them and say, "Hey, you greeted me last week, and that just really made me feel welcome. Or you brought me food from your garden. I can't tell you how blessed I was by that. Or you came and visited me in the hospital, and I was so blessed by that visit. It just took up some time, and it really encouraged me in a downtime. Or, you know what? Your faithfulness in being here each and every Sunday just is such an encouragement to me, and it reminds me of and encourages me on those moments when I don't want to come to church. You know what? If this 80, 85, 90, 95-year-old member can come to church when there's 5-6 inches of snow on the ground, then so can I." To encourage our elderly members, to affirm the ways that they are working in and through us. When you receive these cards, to go up to some of the members of that outreach team and thank them. To show them, "Hey, this has purpose, this has meaning, this impacted me." Third, to seek out older members to glean wisdom. To seek out those mentoring relationships. To sit down and have cups of coffee or whatever you drink, whatever they drink. And to glean from them this years and years and years of wisdom they have accumulated from God. And finally, to remind our elder members of God's power and desire to work through them. To remind them they still have purpose, that they still have meaning, that God is not done with them yet. And to help them believe when their faith may fail, that maybe, just maybe, some of the best years of making disciples are still ahead of them. Let's be a church that regardless of our age, regardless of our health, regardless of our energy, that we are trusting in God's power to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. And as that happens, to God be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who has saved so many of our elderly members. And we thank you for the many ways that our lives have been impacted as you have worked through them over the months, years, and even decades in our church. Father, we pray this morning that as we spend time in your word, that you would be affirming in them that you still have a purpose for them, that they still have great value in your mission to reach the world for Jesus, that they still have purpose here at First Baptist. And Father, I pray that this would be a church that encourages that, that fosters that, that comes alongside them, that supports them, that learns from them. And that, Father, we would all be closer to Jesus because of them. Father, we help pray that in the weeks and months and years ahead, that, Father, we would stop believing this lie that our service to you depends on a young age or good health or high energy levels. And that we would instead trust in your great power as we always should, believing that you can do immeasurably more through us and in us than what we could ever ask or imagine. So God, as we continue to reach Muscatine, as we continue to reach the world, as we continue to be faithful to the opportunities such as this afternoon to be a blessing to others, Father, may this church always find in their midst our elderly members who are believing that as they serve you one more time, that you will be faithful and bear fruit and accomplish your purpose. Today, just as much as you have throughout their many years of faithful service, just as you have throughout the many generations that came before us, we thank you that you're this God, and we seek to worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.